Boston's Home for Sports. Boston's Home. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
The games are only half of it.
Matthew, loser.
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Solak's the worst.
Well, Bergeron just went into the boards. Awkward, he's hurt.
And Marchand drops the gloves immediately and tackles one of the stars.
Bergeron is in a lot of pain, trying to make his way to the Bruins bench. He's not even going to the bench. He's going down to the locker room.
He was hit by Radek Foxa.
Yeah, Foxa really didn't. If anything, he kind of interfered with Bergeron, but it wasn't a malicious hit. But Bergeron got, he was going down. And it looked like left shoulder into the boards, and it did not look good. And Marchand immediately dropping the gloves and going after Foxa.
Yeah, Bergeron a lot like Stephen Tyler in Love in an Elevator. But he's Tyler going down. Oh, my, my, my.
My, 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 my.
Looks like another elevator operator is after the Tyler. All right, we learned that Ty Anderson is named after Steven Tyler. His real name is Tyler. And what was your middle name?
Lee.
Named after Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of sucks.
I don't suck. My kids name is
both,
suck?
They're both icons.
I mean, Steven Tyler now is a guy who yells at Skittle portraits of himself in commercials. And Tommy Lee, I mean, it's just that's like he still does his flipping thing with the drum set. I don't know. I just
kid died at his house. Yeah. So I named my son after Milo Ackerman from The Descendants. So it's not like I am above naming a child after a musician.
Have you read The Dirt, the Motley Crue biography?
No.
It's the greatest book I've ever read, and I'm not saying that with any kind of hyperbole. It's my favorite book.
Really?
Like, I mean, members that it's an oral history, so each member of the band is talking trash on the other members. But I mean, you know, the Nikki Sixx died, came back to life. Each one of them is like overdosing, like kill. I mean, the whole Pam Anderson part with Tommy Lee is nuts about his time in jail. It is truly one of the great rock autobiographies of all time.
Yeah, it's top ten rock biography. There's no question about it. Could be a top five. All right, Ty Anderson. We're down to one defenseman. All right. Is there any word at all? I know Charles 4-6. They've been very quiet about McAvoy, but we know he's skating. We know Miller's skating. Now Moore's gone. I don't know what his situation is, but have you gotten any word of who is the next regular, because they're down to one defenseman who's coming off a major injury. So any news of anyone coming back? Carlo skating. Is there any news about anyone that could be coming back anytime soon?
When you said the next regular, I thought you meant to go down because they drop like flies now.
Well, there's
game.
Only one more.
Yeah, so. It's a real thing. I mean, I think Kevin Miller is the next guy. He's on this road trip. He's expected to play on Wednesday, I think. So he's the next guy, but you know, even that doesn't seem like he's 100%. You know,
right.
he hasn't really, he's been practicing, but it doesn't seem like he's been fully practicing from the way Cassie's been talking about him. Like, they're not, like, he was never available to play this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what happened, he wasn't going to be playing. So Wednesday is what they're hoping for with him, but maybe it's Friday. And then after that, I think you'd have to think it's probably Carlo next, because it doesn't sound like it's anything too serious on that front. McAvoy, they're being ultra cautious.
You think it's concussion?
Oh, it absolutely is. Okay. Yeah, yeah, and that's and Sweeney confirmed that like a week and a half ago.
He
said symptoms, concussion symptoms,
right,
which
right.
obviously means concussion. And they're gonna handle him so carefully, so delicately because they know how important he
right.
is. You don't want to mess with this kind of crap. You saw this with Aaron Ekblad. I think it was second or third season in Florida. He had a concussion. He missed a large chunk of the season, and they were just ultra cautious. They didn't want to rush him back because you rush him back, that was a setback. Now he's out for 3 months, you know, instead
right.
of two. Mm-hmm. So I think he's kind of the one that I think is going to be last to come back. I mean, I think he comes back for Chara, but I think of that group that you don't know, I think he's the furthest one
okay.
Away still. But yeah, it's getting weird. You know, one more injury, and now you're down to the 13th defenseman on your depth chart as an organization, which is...
Jeez.
Impossible. And you think about they traded McQuaid because you had too many defensemen, and now you know you don't have enough defensemen.
Okay, so we were talking about this earlier in the show, and John was making a point that he believed that these guys, with the new way of hockey, instead of having that fourth line that's usually like the Bruisers, the Sean Thornton type guys, now we're at a place where everyone's fast and skilled. And
young and cheap go on the fourth line.
Young, cheap, but John's philosophy is that he thinks that the Bruins are getting targeted right now and they're getting pushed around. And if you had a guy now, someone like a Sean Thornton, and the fourth line was beefed up the way that it used to be, that would prevent that from happening.
You can't have a full-on Sean Thornton in today's NHL, but someone with Thornton tendencies that can score a little bit.
Is that different? Is that a falsehood, or do you believe that someone like that can prevent these injuries from happening? Because I'm thinking back, I mean, Thornton was on the team when Savard got nailed. I mean, it didn't quite stop.
Thornton was on the team when Bergeron got his concussion.
And that's the other thing, too. I mean, is that kind of a myth, or does that actually help protect your team, having a guy like that?
I think it's a myth because, like you said, these things happen. Like
way
Savard.
To go, John, stupid.
Well, no, I mean,
limit the liberties being taken, I guess is my point.
Like, you know, the hockey show this past weekend, Hag said they think they need a tough guy. I think Beer said it as well, that he feels that they're getting targeted.
Yeah, Fred.
But it's one of those things where I don't know what that player is going to do because by 2018 standards, the Boston Bruins are a tough team. Like, their fourth line has Achari. They signed Wagner. They have Backes. They have Kevin Miller when he's healthy. They have Chara. Like, when they're healthy, they're a tough team as far as 2018 standards go. Like, what do you want this team to get? You know, like, they can't get that Sean Thornton because that player will get danced around in today's game.
Yeah.
And you saw this in Tampa Bay last year. They tried to be physical with Tampa. And by the time they would get to Tampa to hit them, the puck would be in the offensive zone, and they couldn't catch up with them. So I don't like that kind of player anymore. I don't think it has a role on this team, especially with Cassidy's system. I think if you get that player, he needs to do more. He needs to be able to score some goals. You know, that's the thing. People talk about Lucic. Oh, bring Lucic back. No.
He can't. Yeah, he's terrible.
You know how many? He has 2 goals in his last 64 games. 2 goals.
And he makes 3 years left on his contract, right?
Four.
I'll be honest, I haven't quite kept up with his career. Yeah. Two in the last 64?
Yes.
He's terrible. He's absolutely terrible.
I knew he was bad, but not that.
Well, Chiarelli just said, hey, here's a bunch of money.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the thing. But people are saying, oh, well, you know, he wants that Edmonton, and he could really change the team. And it's like, no, he would. Like, you think Backes is a bad fit for Cassidy? Get Lucic in here. Like, right. It would be a nightmare. Cassidy would lose his mind having to deal with Lucic on the ice every day. So I think, I don't know. If you get that player, you know, what's wrong with getting a third-line center who can be physical? You know, like, that's an actual need for this team, more so than an enforcer. They need someone who can score. They need a winger who can work with Krejci. And you know, that center spot, that's a big spot. They need a guy that they can play more than 10 minutes on the third line and who can make Anders Bjork and Danton Heinen better players.
You were talking about a winger that works with Krejci. DeBrusk has been fantastic the last week to 10 days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's been great. It's one of those things where he's finally coming around. But you look at this roster, who's been the best fit opposite DeBrusk? It's been Joachim Nordstrom. This guy was probably your healthy scratch if you're a healthy team. You know, like when they signed him, he wasn't going to be a big player for this team. So I look at that roster spot and I say that is the hole that you got to fill, because you look at the East. Everyone has 2 lines. Everyone has 2 or 3 lines that they can score with. You have 1, you know. And if you're not going to break Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak up, you got to do something with that second line. You got to get somebody else on the second line or the third line to help balance the scoring a little bit. You know, this team had a stretch where they went 400 minutes without a 5-on-5 goal from a forward that's not on that Bergeron line. Like, that can't happen. Like,
yeah.
That's what doomed them in the playoffs last year. They couldn't score even strength against Tampa. And it's happening again, and the roster, I think, is worse than it was a year ago.
All right, so now that Bergeron is going to be out, and we don't know how long. I think today we're supposed to find out. But with Bergeron out and with all of these defensemen gone, can they maintain during this period of time through injuries enough to not fall so far as to basically just be in a hole they won't be able to get out of?
I think you're seeing it right now. You know, look at this past weekend, right? You get great goaltending from Tuukka and from Halak, which has not been the case this year. It's been one or the other. Now you had both guys playing well this weekend. I think they allowed 2 goals on, I think, 70 shots in total in the weekend. They lose 1 in overtime. They win a close one. I mean, this was a survivalist kind of game.
Lauzon looked great. Like, all these guys they called up, I mean, it was...
And keep in mind, they're only 4 points away from the division lead. Like, I think they're already in it. You know, that you're talking about not taking on water, not not sinking to the bottom.
Yeah.
I think they're in that mindset right now. And if they can, you know, continue to kind of squeak out some wins, get some points. If you don't win, just get a point.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of seeing that. Like, I think Dallas was a great example of that. Like, they were not good in that Dallas game. The fact that they got to overtime was a win on its own, really. So if they can just continue to get points, that's the most important thing right now.
All right, quickly, Mark from Medford. Hello, sir.
Hey, speaking of tennis.
What's up, Mark?
Not knowing when Bergeron's going to be back and the lack of secondary scoring on this team, is it possible for the Bruins to look at somebody like a William Nylander who's sitting home waiting to play hockey right now that doesn't want to play with Toronto?
You know, I think it's a good question. The problem is Toronto's not going to – they're not going to work a deal with you. Like,
right.
Because for whatever reason, this league, the offer sheets, they don't exist. GMs, it's like GMs don't do it. They respect one another too much, which is annoying. You should win the game. You shouldn't respect the GM. You should try to beat the GM. But they respect one another way too much to do this. You saw this in 2009 when the Leafs got Phil Kessel. Mm-hmm. The Bruins saw that the Leafs were reacquiring their picks to make an offer sheet. So they said, let's not do that. Let's do a trade instead. So that's how they got those picks that got Sagan and Hamilton and Jared Knight. So it just doesn't happen. I mean, it would make sense, but Toronto is not going to say, hey, here's William Nylander, probably our third best winger. And you're a division rival. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to do that. And I think there are teams out there that can offer Toronto more than the Bruins would want to offer Toronto. Toronto needs a defenseman. I think that's why you're seeing Carolina's involved in the Nylander sweeps. The Flyers are in there as well. You hear a lot about these teams, and you look at these teams that have a lot of young defensemen. The Bruins would not trade any of their young defensemen to Toronto. They wouldn't trade McAvoy to Toronto. You know, that'd be suicide for them. So I don't think there's a fit there, and it's division rivals. It's hard to make that kind of deal.
I have to be honest, Ty, you have a gift that not many people are aware of, and that is winning Twitter battles. You actually are extremely good and extremely biting at some of your answers. Latest one was with another writer. Who was it? It was Kalman, I think, who used to work here.
I don't know. There's so many. I don't know. Yeah.
They kind of just pick. But they're all coming for the king, man. Yep. That's what it
is. You know what it is? I just like. I go on Twitter, and Twitter's bad for your health. Like, it's just horrible.
Fred's been saying that for 3 years now.
And you sit there, and you try to make a simple point, and everyone's like, no, you're an idiot, you're stupid. And I'm like, oh my, I'm just trying to make a simple point, guys. Like, this is not a fight. But yeah, I think it was Kalman. I kind of got, I had a little bit of back and forth. I like Matt. Like, with the next day, we were buddy-buddy.
Sure.
But like, in that moment, I was like, all the trolls were coming at me, and everyone was being really mean, and I was like, man, everyone shut up. So I ended up yelling at Matt, and I apologized.
Watch the game. You know it's on for free, I think.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, I'm watching the game. Like, I just left my glasses at home. You know, it happens. It happens to the best of us. So, but me and Matt are cool. I make it a point, and you wouldn't know this because of my Twitter, but I make it a point to try to be cool and welcoming to everyone, like, on the Bruins beat, because I don't want to be that guy that has eight different feuds. Like, it's not pro wrestling. Like, we're all doing a job. It'd be cool if it was pro wrestling. I'd love to cut a promo on Kalman after that. but no, I really think that, you know, it happens. I'm more apt to clap back at somebody who, you know, for lack of a better word, is a nobody who's, like, making fun of me. And I'm like, well, you're subscribing to this. I'm not making you do this. But no, Twitter is terrible for your health, so I agree with Fred.
Yeah, and plus, it's everyone gets fired for being on Twitter, and I know I will put something up in a state of agitation that could get me in trouble. You know who is out there, though?
Who's that?
A man just taking the streets of Czechoslovakia and getting it in wherever he can.
Oh, that'd be Mr. Yager?
I'm ready. Whenever you are. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Sweet.
Yes. He's still skating. Still skating.
Still doing that stuff with the weights on his knees and his butt sticking out like he likes to do?
Yeah, so there was a photo, like, last week where it was Yager and Thomas Plekanec, who just retired basically from the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And he might be playing with Kladno, which is the team that Yager owns. And it says, pictured here, Thomas Plekanec and Jaromir Jagr, team owner Jaromir Jagr. Jagr's wearing pads, and he's like wearing a full-on jersey. I'm like, oh, he's doing that thing where he's gonna play and own the team.
Yeah, the girls comes to so many games, their menstrual cycles on. they have the same menstrual cycle.
They've all matched up.
You know how when roommates they get together?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, these Jagr friends are like, okay, no rubber. And I said, but if we go to red rubber, please. That's a gag gift.
I think it'd be the responsible thing to do.
No, just a guy give. It's Stamos. He hands me the rubber. I go, what? Hey, what is this for? To make the doggy balloon? You need the feel.
You've never had an accident?
No.
His hip game is, his hip game is strong.
No one's ever knocked on your door?
I don't know if this is... they show me the stick. I say, I don't know. I didn't pee on stick.
See, it's for her to pee on the stick.
And yeah, she says she could do anything. So this one girl, she says, it's a plus sign. I go, that means it's cool. No baby. Why are you showing me this?
Yager, you are...
I miss Yager.
You have the control.
I haven't had enough of Yager recently.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm keeping it underground. My Instagram is all in check, so it's not good to follow. It's just me at outdoor rock shows with hot chicks. Katrina and the waves, they come.
You're walking on sunshine.
Yeah.
Katrina and the waves.
If you mean sunshine means laying on the chicks.
It doesn't mean that. It's very strange.
You would think so. Visual.
The song even mentions that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Don't stop to ask. There is a way that I'll
break, that's breakout. That's not...
Yeah, that's different completely.
Yeah.
Swing out sister.
You know what's the good thing about the video? Is they have all the fabric and they're cutting it up and throwing it in the air. And then I go, bang, this thing.
Kind of bury the lead there.
Really?
Yeah.
Got any plans for Thanksgiving, Yarmir Yager?
Oh, this should be good.
We don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Why?
Because I don't live in the States, dumbass. No, what we do is we have annual ninja race.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You and Kip Winger?
Kip is my dune buggy bro. Kip, he says, he goes, hot dog, look at this. He goes, hot dog, these are slick, Yager. And I said, yeah. You better bring a mouth guard because I'm going to be eating your dust.
You're going to be eating his dust?
Other way around.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes I go, Kip, and then I slow down and I go, you're getting so close. Vroom! Off a dune, super high.
It's funny. Kip Winger is actually the name of Ty's older brother.
I wouldn't deny it.
I mean, he's got a brother, CeCe.
My cousin D. Snyder. It's great.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, D. Snyder.
Not a fan of Twisted Sister, are you, Yammer Yager?
I don't like the political stuff. I got the break. I say, CeCe, do me a favor. Pick up the guitar and talk to me. Come on, dude. On, skinny bop. Fat chicks, oh yeah.
I guess that's what that means.
That is what it means. All right, Ty Anderson, thank you so much for the time, sir.
And if you missed the Sarge cycle, I think we need to play it.
Okay, we will play the Sarge cycle for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing? You guys don't take, like, requests for songs, do you?
What would you like to hear? I'll see if we got it.
I'd like to request a song, and if possible, dedicate it to one of my good friends, Mike Todd Riley.
Hey, what song you want to hear?
How about Little River Band, Lonesome Loser? I love that song.
What's Mike's last name?
Sarge, so it's Mike Todd Riley.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarge. Guys.
Okay.
617-779-0985. What do you think this name is calling from Vegas there? Zoe, you see that? How would you say that? N-O-J.
Nodge. Another Nodger.
Or no J.
RJ?
I don't know.
You think it's RJ?
I don't know. Who is this in Vegas?
It's Nodge. Nodge.
Nodge, what's up?
Not much. Rough game yesterday. I just wanted to talk to you guys about how much Mike Sarge Riley sucks in the radio.
Oh, God.
One.
All right, good. We got it out of
the way. Doesn't take much to get by the intern. Just spell your name backwards. Get right by him.
Oh, it's John backwards. Yes. Good job, kid.
Scott is in Maine. What's up, Scott?
I never would have figured that out.
Still likes the best.
It's great.
Awesome.
All right, so John in Vegas is... this all happened organically. Sarge was on with us one time, and he started fighting all the callers, so they started calling and saying Sarge sucks. Then it was happened on our show, and now it's branched out to other shows. And in fairness, we did request Feinbaum and what's his name?
Feinbaum, Hannity, yes, and Francesa.
And Francesa, he's gone through to all three of them. And we've been, I actually was very impressed. I said, could you get on the air? Could anyone get on the air? This is open for everyone. John in Vegas is very good at it. Could you get on someone's airwaves? Three calls in a row, and we called it the Sarge cycle. So,
because your thing was that, you know, one call would obviously be like, oh, okay, whatever. And then a second call would be like, oh, like would get in their heads. And the third one would just ruin them.
Yeah. Like you're now anticipating like every call is going to be a Sarge call.
Yep. So somebody.
So you're gun shy.
Yeah.
You
stop taking calls.
Well, you can take calls, but you're afraid to interact with them too much.
Yeah.
So there is a show called Mustard and Johnson.
Yep.
That apparently has been around for a very long time on WEEI, and I was unaware of it until now, but John tells me that they've been on the air for a very long time.
And this weekend, something that we never thought was going to happen actually happened. Take it away, Mustard and Johnson Show.
Joan in Dorchester, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Joan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you that Mike Sarge Riley sucks on the radio. Thanks, guys.
Well, I really appreciate that.
What was that?
Okay, wrong radio station anyway. I don't even know why he even mentioned it because it's the other station.
Well, what did he say?
He was referencing a guy who works at the other station, Sarge Mike Riley. You know, meaningless.
I don't even know who he is.
617. 617.
What, you don't know who he is?
Sure.
Please, I find that very hard.
So, okay. There you go. You got
very hard to believe.
We got one down. One down.
All right, so you got in, you got out.
And they have to be in a row. All three have to be in a row.
It was Joan? That was the name?
Joan.
Joan.
Not John, Joan.
Joan.
So you can tell he's like hurrying it up because he's got to get to these other phones.
Right.
Let's get rid of this guy. Let's go right to the next one.
He was referencing a guy who works at the other station, Sarge Mike Riley. You know, meaningless.
I don't even know who he is.
617. 617.
How's that for an endorsement?
Well, you're loyal to this radio station. You know, as a matter of fact, until I mentioned it, you didn't even realize there was another sports radio station in town other than WEEI. All right, one more before we go to the break, and we're going to go to...
What are you excited about right now? It still seems to be the Patriots.
I have no idea how to pronounce this. Is it Omnaj?
Naj.
What's happening, Naj?
Nothing. That last guy is a real comedian, huh?
Oh, God. A laugh a minute.
Well, I'm working on the VO right now.
Yep. Tip your waitresses.
He's right, though. That guy sucks on the radio. Mike Sarge Riley? Guy's terrible.
All right. Thanks for the call. 617.
Have you waited all that time for that?
What are they, what are they conspiring against poor Mike Riley? I think Mike Riley's a splendid broadcaster. He does not deserve this kind of criticism. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, figure out who's on the line, who isn't on the line.
So that's two.
Oh, and okay.
They are not conspiring against Sarge, by the way. They're conspiring against you.
So he's got at least, you know, he's got to have three phones going at once. Three phones going at once to try to make this work because he hung up and it's not like he called right back.
Right.
So he was on hold probably on three different lines. So you've gotten two. And now, will he be able to complete the Sarge cycle?
So he's been Joan.
He's been Joan, and then he was Naj, which is once again John backwards, as we've learned from the Zoolike and Bertrand show. And then they come back from commercial. Let's do it.
Let's go to Berg. Is his name Berg in Everett?
Berg
in Everett, you're next on Sports Radio. Hey, Berg.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We'll try to transition away from, 9/11 and the sports, see if I can help you out with that.
Hold on 1 second. John, back in the studio. Will you put Tom on hold? I hit two callers at the same time. Thank you. All right, go ahead, Berg.
Can you read me?
Yeah, I can read you. Over now. 10-4, good buddy. 10-4.
Fantastic. Just wanted to say that Sarge sucks in the radio, guys. That's three in a row. Sarge cycle.
I wish I knew what that was about. I just hang on long enough at least to explain to us. If you're going to insult somebody, at least let us know who you're insulting.
Call the other radio station. That's what
told you
works.
Three times.
Told you it was Sarge.
He told you exactly who was insulting.
Your partner said that Sarge was a splendid broadcast.
Three times. And that is called the Sarge cycle. The elusive Sarge cycle has been achieved. I never thought it could happen, and it almost did. Ooh, when they picked up two lines at the same time.
Did he say, I want to transfer from 9-11 into sports?
I guess they just came back from commercials, and maybe they were mentioning something about, like, 9-11 or whatever. Okay. Dude, I have no idea. I don't listen to that show. I've never heard it until then. That's the first time I've ever heard
that's crazy. No, I had no idea who those guys were either. And that's not being cool. I mean, 9 to noon, I don't...
Did you have to get, like, two burner phones just to complete this task?
The first two. I'm thinking you pretty much could have hung up and called back for the third one.
No, because the third, you can't take that risk. If you want to pull off the Sarge cycle, and we know now that John in Vegas is a pro, you have to be on hold on all three phones at the same time. Because you almost got that other line picked up, but that doesn't count. If they're not in a row, it does not count.
If you can go... There's a special... We've already sent... We've sent John in Vegas some swag. This is open to anyone. If you can get on a station and get three in a row for a daily show, like a show that's a Monday through Friday show, especially if you think that not on the station that you think will get really exasperated by it, Dale, then I would. That would be very funny to me. Just think of who in the market would
get the most riled up.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Dale's probably top of the list.
Dan has a good point. It's too bad Ted Sarandis still isn't in this market.
Yeah.
Because he would flip the F out if that ever happened during his show in the evening.
Because I don't think their morning show would particularly care. Keith wouldn't care. He'd think it was funny. And then I don't think their afternoon show would care. Oh. And I don't know who does night.
Oh, what about what if you rock the Sarge cycle with? But for me, I like chocolate
and thick. Is there enough time for them to take three phones?
I think that's the hurdle we have to overcome.
No insult. I just don't think that they have the time to take three phone calls in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a young lady on today who had apparently had sex with a man and said it was terrible, so they called the guy and put him on the phone together.
I'm sure it was real.
It was absolutely real. All right, what's coming up with... It seems very legal. What's coming up in the stack?
Oh, well, LeBron James has admitted that trading Kyrie was the end of it all. We will get to that also. We got to talk about what's going on with the Celtics and a slight bit of update on the Fartgate from the darts tournament.
Have you seen Kenan Thompson do LeVar Ball?
On SNL? No, I know he's done it a couple times, but he did this weekend,
too. If you go to the AV Club, they have everything that happened with no commercials on SNL. His LeVar Ball is outstanding. It's one of the great characters in Saturday Night Live history. I will say that.
Should we pull some of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you go to the AV Club, they got Saturday Night Live, and it's like a 3-minute clip.
I heard he did it this weekend.
You got to kind of look at him, too, but it's very funny. It's a recurring character. He's great. That is truly one of the best characters in Saturday Night Live history, in my opinion. All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right, so you were just talking about this. This is... I'm sorry, it's
Kenan Thompson.
Kenan Thompson, right. He's the guy who did Fat Albert. Good Burger. He does David Ortiz. He was on Weekend Update on SNL this weekend doing a LeVar Ball impression.
This is a recurring character, but yes, this is LeVar Ball.
Now, your actual sons, LiAngelo and LaMelo, just spent the year playing in Lithuania on a team you created.
You damn right. Well, the Big Baller League.
How'd they handle it?
What?
How did they handle it?
Oh, they loved it. They could be rich teenagers in L.A., but instead, they were in the lovely town of Vilnius, living the big baller lifestyle. Pierogi for breakfast. Oh. Pierogi for lunch. And for dinner, the briniest cabbage dessert of Bucharest. It'll run right through you like the Chattahoochee River.
That sounds rough, man.
Oh, you jealous? Because we be balling out every day. We just signed a lucrative three-figure deal with the biggest video game console in all of Lithuania, the PlayStation 2.
He actually does sound like him.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, listen, just not seeing his face, it definitely sounds a lot like him.
Yes, it's one of the great characters in SNL history.
Well, speaking of LeBron James, he has admitted to The Athletic that when Kyrie got traded, it was the end of everything. Quote, everyone knows that when Kyrie got traded, it was the beginning of the end for everything. It's not a secret. He said, you realize at that point in time, you take nothing from Kobe because Kobe, it's Kobe Altman, the GM, was just named the GM. But at that point in time, he realized that Kobe's not the only one running the team. He said, as former GM David Griffin has done, that's why Griff was let go pretty much. So he's basically saying, we all know where it goes. He goes, I'm returning to a place where I've spent 11 years of my career. I had some great moments. I had some not so great moments. But all in all, when you give everything to whatever, that franchise, a teammate, a coaching staff, anything, that's all that matters. So he is obviously was upset about it. And to that I say, you're the one who doctored the trade.
Yeah, there's no way they do that trade without your permission.
Without a doubt, everything was run through LeBron James. As a matter of fact, that's the reason Kyrie wanted out, was because apparently behind his back, you were trying to trade with, who were they trying to get?
Phoenix, they wanted Bledsoe.
They wanted to get Bledsoe, and you were the one who pushed him out. And to that, Celtics fans say thank you, because even when the team's been playing bad, ever since Tommy Heinsohn called Kyrie Irving fat, he has played out of his mind. As a matter of fact, after that Raptors game,
he won them the game against Toronto.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, he won them the game against the Toronto. But on top of that, that Toronto game kind of started to get him in the conversation of MVP. Like, if he can continue to do that, especially seeing the way that the Celtics, everyone else doesn't seem to be pulling as much weight as you had hoped. Kyrie is the one guy who seems to be playing with a fire under his ass, even with the loss the other day, which that sucked. That Jazz loss was not good. There's all these reports about how Kyrie Irving is now ripping all the guys in the locker room a new one and doing what I think he had wished that 14-year veteran would have to do.
Well, he said after one of the games, we're going to be okay. I'll make sure of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of saw this kind of stuff coming.
I like it. He's everything you want in a player right now with a team going through this. You want him to kick their ass mentally. You want him to play every single play. As a matter of fact, there was a play on against Utah where he was the only one who got back defensively and was busting his ass. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously new ever since he's been a member of the Celtics. A, the ability for him to be effective on defense, because that was the knock against him. But B, the fact that he is trying to put some sort of spark under the asses of the guys in this team.
By the way, I've made the comparison between this team and the first year LeBron went to Miami and the first year LeBron went to Cleveland. First year LeBron went to Miami, they were 9-7. Through 16 games. First year LeBron went to Cleveland, they were 9-7 through the first 16 games.
Someone did
games.
A little digging.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a Grandy stat?
Did it? No. All mine. All mine. Mm-hmm. Spent some time looking it up last night. Now, the LeBron Miami team won 12 in a row after they fell to 9-8. So they got it going. But when LeBron went back to Cleveland, they were 14-10 at Christmas. I mean, this is going to take some time. I'm not surprised that this has happened. I, too, think they'll figure it out. I think this team is extremely talented, far better than what they're showing. And help is not help, but the success is just around the corner.
I don't think they make the playoffs.
Okay.
Let that sink in.
Okay.
Mic drop. On you.
Yep. Sure.
Do you want a Grandy stat, though? How about this?
Yeah.
He said something that might help the build, the schedule. 13 of the first 16 games were against teams at or above 500. 11 of the next 14 are against teams that are at or below 500. So 14 of the next 21 will also be at home. So you have that going for you. Congratulations. All right. Now, we heard about on John Gruden, apparently, not apparently, we saw it on TV, in three different cases, got in a fight, a screaming match on the sidelines with Derek Carr. And then, of course, he said, it was all fine after they ended up winning.
Kind of got into Derek a little bit, cameras caught and everything. That was really the first time we've seen you go after Derek like that. Is that something that they can spark him, or was that just something in the heat of the moment?
That's the first time you've seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first time it's happened.
That's what I mean.
So, you know, like I said, we're both competitors. We're competing hard there. And we had a man-to-man situation, and he went for the big play, and, you know, we had a mild disagreement. But you know what? That's part of this business. You know, we're going to have times where we clash a little bit. We're also very supportive of one another, and I'm really proud of him. He's been through a lot this year, and I'm glad he's our quarterback.
But it might have been a lot worse than even we saw. According to ESPN, tight end Lee Smith of the Raiders grabbed John Gruden by the neck to calm him down as he got after Derek Carr in one of those sidelines exchanges.
Nine more years, my guy.
Oh, Mark Davis.
Yep. He's just entrenched with nothing to lose.
That was a great hire. Great job.
Thank you.
Do you have to take him to Chang's every week, too? Or is that,
I don't got to do nothing. I wanted a guy from TV. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace was my first choice.
Really? Turned you down? Why yeah. him?
Why Eric? Because he was a laugh riot.
Okay, well, I don't know if that's
he was the He was the, not literally, but he was the straight man on the show.
Right, I see.
Yeah. They would play off of him.
I don't know. Well, Eric McCormick is straight. It's just that his character was straight.
No, but I'm saying, like, he was the, you know, he like he helped the cast.
Okay.
He was the center of which they rotated.
I understand. Thank you very much, Mark Davis.
I wanted that crocodile guy, but he's dead.
You mean Steve Irwin?
Yep.
All right.
You wanted him to be the head coach?
Why would the crocodile hunter make for a good coach?
Oh, I know. Kick-ass tricks. Yeah, you also bring all kind of cool animals up to the press box. I don't know. As soon as I saw that shell necklace, I said, this is my guy.
Well, apparently someone tried to wrangle Gruden by the throat. One of the players.
Yeah,
this
that's
weekend.
All in good fun.
Yeah. By the way, as a Lions fan, Fred, this is going to be something that I'm sure you'll really enjoy. There is a certain quarterback who just worked out for the Lions. Would you like to take a guess?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
Mark Sanchez?
No.
Nathan Peterman.
I don't even know who the... the good news is Stafford has started... the six most consecutive games of a quarterback of all time.
You know what? Just yank Stafford. Put in Peterman. Let the tank begin. Just let him go full tank.
Stafford hasn't been very good this year.
No, neither has the team. But then again, they worked out in the snow for no apparent reason the other day.
Well, it worked. And I'll tell you this, is Kenyon Johnson is the first good running back that they've had since Barry Sanders. And now he might be out for the season. So good for them. All right. Zolak and Bertrand are coming. We'll see what they have to go going on. Rubbish. 985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and Zolak and Bertrand out in Gillette.
Hey, what's up?
Out in Gillette today.
What's going on at Gillette?
It's just a rescheduling of things.
Coming off the bye.
Short week.
Okay.
With the holiday. You know, guys switching things around.
Yeah. Well, you guys got big plans for Thanksgiving?
No.
I heard you all day today complaining about Bubby.
The Bubs we haven't talked to in 3 years. But.
Oh, you haven't spoken to the mother?
Nope.
You'll see her Thursday?
Nope. I'm never going to see her again.
Oh, I'm sorry to bring that up. that's awkward.
So you don't think there'll ever be a chance of reconciliation?
Hell no.
Okay. I guess not.
You know, when I give you 13 years.
No, I think there's been enough crap that's been left behind. There's just some things you don't get over. I'm with Fred on this.
That's brilliant, Fred. You're never going to have to deal with a mother-in-law ever again.
I'm with Fred on this.
My wife can do whatever she wants. My wife can take the kids there. I don't care. I am never going to see her again. Ever in my entire
life. That's...
Wow.
Wow.
It's not that big a deal.
your vacations, like these holiday things where you go and you have these family issues across the board. I don't bang it for banging out on a Monday when you come back and all of a sudden something comes up like the cat. Hey, how's that cat? Is it still alive?
What are you bringing that up for?
The cat is actually...
You know Fred's going to bang out next Monday. It's given.
Well, where are you going?
No, I come back on Saturday.
Oh. He'll still bang out Monday. Can
we talk about the Sarge cycle, please?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can we please talk about that? Now that he's completed it,
couldn't have had
he's
it.
Got
on,
it.
Couldn't
right?
have had it done he, on a less
now,
show.
Now I think. He's, now, yeah, but that's the type of show it has to go down on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, because it's so hard. Because even if someone decides, if they have like five calls on the line and they go to one that's out of order, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But now, yes, man.
And he almost did.
Yeah. Yeah. He went to that Tom before he went to Bert.
You're right.
So. Now that he's done it, and by the way, you could tell
Sarge is all excited.
He just wanted to blurt it out.
Me.
He wanted to blurt it out as soon as he got on the line.
Oh,
as soon as he was on, potted up. Now I think he goes for style points.
Yep.
Because you know what would have made that better?
What?
Is if on the third one he had given them like a legit take and had a back and forth and then dropped it on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been. Now I think he's got to start going for that stuff.
I think there's still work
to be done.
I still liked it when he was just like, hey, how about that guy? He's a real comedian.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, he's.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.